Well, good morning. You know, today we're going to be discussing the prodigal son. And this is a very well-known parable of Jesus. And I know that when we were going through the parables of Jesus at the beginning of the year, that some of you might have thought, well, where's this one? Well, why didn't he talk about the prodigal son? Well, the reason why I didn't talk about the prodigal son was that was the Sunday that I was down in Florida. I'd already written this, so I put it in my back pocket, and I thought, you know what? That'll be a great message to share after Kevin talks about Gideon's International. So today we're going to be looking at the prodigal son and what it really means for us. You know, this is a parable that has been scrutinized from every different angle possible. Teachers have looked at this. They've looked at the love and forgiveness of God through it that he offers. And this parable can really be viewed from three different perspectives. You can look at this from the father's perspective and how it impacted him. You can look at it from the prodigal's point of view as he left his father and the decisions that he made and the consequences that followed. But redemption is still possible. You could also look at it from the older brother's point of view, his position, and how we need to watch our motives. But as we turn to the Bible today, this morning, may God reveal his truth of the importance that we learn from this parable, and may we take away what he reveals and apply it to our lives today. The parable of the prodigal son can be found in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. So if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me there, that's where we're going to be this morning. And starting in verse 11, it says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country, where he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then he came to his senses, and he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields. When he came near the house and he heard the music and the dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all of these years I have slaved for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Powerful, powerful words of Jesus in this parable. You know, as I was talking to one of my friends about this parable and about this story, he made a remarkable statement to me. He said that this parable should have a different name. It shouldn't be the prodigal son. That it should have the name of the Father's great love. You know, he's right. That's really what this story is all about. And as I mentioned before, this parable has many different layers that we need to look at, or we could look at. But understand one thing. The Father's love is always in the background of all of it. The Father's love is always in the background of all of it. Everything that this story teaches us, we see the Father's love in the background. Make no mistake about it, the background on that slide was meant for your attention. What is in the background of that picture but the cross of Jesus Christ? It's always in the background of everything that we do. We see this young man, this young son, devastates his father. When he asked for his share of the inheritance, he was literally saying, "I wish you dead, Father, that I could have what is mine. I wish you dead." No more being under his authority. No more having to walk in obedience. He could live his own life his own way. That's what this younger son wanted. We've all had those thoughts, haven't we? We've all lived that way, haven't we? God, I don't want your rules. I don't want to live under your obedience. This is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to. And every one of us has walked away and turned our backs against a holy God. But there, imagine this tremendous love of this Father. Imagine the tremendous love that God has for you. That you would spit in his face and walk away, and he still longs for you. This Father stood and watched day after day after day for that son. He looked and longed for him. And the scripture doesn't tell us how long this young son was gone. Doesn't tell us if it was a few months, it could have been a few years. But the Father always was looking for his son to return, to come home. And this son finally comes to his senses. I could go back to my father empty-handed. And what does the son say? It says, the scripture says that he come to his senses. How many of us have come to our senses and realized that we have sinned against God, but he still loves us, and we have come back to him? This father stood at a distance day after day after day looking for his son to come. His son finally comes to his senses. And understand, he comes to his right senses, because what does he say? He says, I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against you. He doesn't say that at all. He says what? I have sinned against heaven first, and then I have sinned against you. He understood his sin, and he came to the consequences of it. I'm going to go back and be like one of my father's hired men. And he goes. He picks everything up, empty-handed and all, and he goes back to his father. And that's exactly what he says. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your slaves. Make me like one of your servants. And he goes home. How many of you noticed the sign out front this morning? What did you think of the sign this morning? When was the time that God ran? When was the time that God ran? How would you answer that question? God is sovereign. He is the conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. He does not run, right? That's our thinking. He doesn't run, except for one time. And there's only one time that he runs. Only one. When I was a new Christian in Christ, when I was just starting out, I would listen to Christian radio back when it was good. And there was one song that crushed me every time I heard it. And my mom asked me about that sign this morning. And I played that song for her. And with tears running down my face, it still gets me. When does God run? Only in this story. Only in the story of the prodigal son. Only then does he run. The father sees his son coming home. And it says he ran to him. In that culture, a man doesn't run for anything other than battle. For a man to run was very disrespectful. He wasn't going to do it. But this father who sees his son coming home runs to his son. And the son has nothing but, "Dad, I'm sorry that I have sinned against heaven and against you." He has repentance in his heart. And he understands, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." How did the father respond? "You're darn right you're not worthy to be called my son." Is that how he responded? No. He throws his arms around him and he tells his servants, "You find a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and you kill the fatted calf, because my son who was dead is now alive. He was lost and now is found." When is the only time God runs? When his children come to a knowledge of who they are and what they have done and follow Jesus in faith. And he runs to them and meets them with open arms. And he loves them. And he throws his arms around them and welcomes them home. God runs when he runs to you, when you come to him in faith. Now we have to understand that motives are a big deal, right? Our motives are a big deal. And when it comes to our spiritual lives, they're an even bigger deal. Why do we do the things that we do? Is it for the recognition of God's glory? Is it for recognition of our own? Only you can answer that. But the motives of our hearts, God knows. And we see the motives being lived out in the older son's life. The older son in this parable, he has been there the entire time. He's been with his father the entire time, but he has lost sight of what that relationship means. What does our relationship with God mean? What does it mean to you? What does it look like? Is it, "I have to follow the rules, that I need to walk in obedience, that I need to be at church every Sunday and sit in the pews and listen to the message and space off"? But we need to examine our motives, because our motives are important. This older son was with his father, yet he missed the entire relationship with him. He comes back and he hears the celebration. And understanding, rightfully so, he was upset. I mean, his younger brother, who said, "Father, I wish you dead, give me my inheritance," he goes and he squanders it, it says, in wild living. He spent it on prostitutes and drinking and everything else you could think of. And he comes home and his dad's throwing this party, but he didn't understand something. He had changed. The younger son had changed. And the older son comes in. "What in the world is going on? You're celebrating him? I've been here the entire time. I've done everything that you've asked. I have slaved in the fields for you, and yet you don't give me anything. He had it all. He had it all because he was with the Father. And if we start looking at our Christian life from that perspective, we're missing the point. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing that we have in Christianity. It's the only thing that matters. And it's not about following the rules and doing the things. Why do we do the things that we do? Because I love him. Because I love him. And nothing else. The older son had everything at the Father's disposal. He had walked with him all the days of his life, but he missed the relationship. But notice how even the Father responded to him. Wasn't it anger or disappointment? It was still in love. "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Don't miss it. You know, maybe today you're running from God with the desires of your own things and what you want. You've turned your back on him, maybe. It's not too late. It's not too late to come to your senses, just like the prodigal did. He came to his senses and he came back to his father, who longed for him. If you've been following Jesus for some time and you haven't felt like your motives have been right, it's not too late to come to your senses. It's not too late to come to your senses and experience the love the Father has for you today. It's not too late to reconcile your relationship that's maybe been broken, as far as it depends upon you. May we draw near to God through this message. May we draw near to God through our words and actions. May we draw near to God because he's worth it, right? God is worth it. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your truth. Lord, and I pray that as we consider these things today, one of the most important lines in this entire parable is he comes to his senses. I pray that we come to our senses regardless of where we stand. Father, may we check our motives and we examine them. We hope that they are right in your sight. Because Father, your word tells us that you're the one who knows the motives of the heart. Father, speak to our hearts today, we pray. Lord, and I pray that if there's someone that is here today that maybe hasn't made that choice to follow Christ, to come to him in faith, to walk in repentance from sin, walk close to him, to be drawn near to him, to be loved by him, I pray that they would make that decision today. Father, don't let it pass. Don't let it pass by. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.